Did y'all enjoy doing that? Okay, so does everybody feel like, hey, I want to be more ready next week to answer those questions? Well, this is not a gotcha. It's like, hey, let's exhort each other lovingly into service, right? Today's message is empowered for service. Last week was preparing for service. Today's empowered for service. That, you know, just like that song we were singing, I was made by you, I was made for you, right? To be in full communion with you. And when we're with each other, we're in communion. Didn't y'all feel that joy, just being with each other, talking? The Holy Spirit is quickened in us. And God who lives in us, those of us who know Jesus, have received Him in our hearts, the Spirit is quickened as we talk about Him. You notice it. You feel this joy, this love that, boy, I haven't felt that all morning. Because you're in koinonia, fellowship, right? I also want to remind you, I use a prayer diary. You know, whatever you want to use, this helps me because I write down things that have happened during the week. If I want to, you know, go back and see what happened, if I forgot, I have it in here, even a month later. And YWAM, Youth of the Mission, YWAM.org, has these. And it has world maps in it, the different countries, how to pray for different people, little stories. I've been using these since 1994. I have one for every year. They're building up. It's taking over the bedroom, right? But these are handy to organize our lives, spiritual lives. Good. All right. So, how's it going with your prayer list? Remember the six people you wrote down? Y'all praying for those people? Or two or three, just start somewhere, right? Because remember, prayer makes a difference. It changed our hearts. I remember one day, all of a sudden, I got a desire to go to church when I lived in Isla Vista, and I thought, where'd that come from? My mom's prayers. You don't live in Isla Vista and suddenly want to go to church. If you've ever been to Isla Vista, you want to go to Del Playa and see where the latest party is or check the surf at Depressions. How's that for a surf spot? So it's actually depressions in the cliff, not emotional depressions. But Jesus lifted me out of my Isla Vista depressions. I must say that. So last week we read through chapter 1 and found out that the apostles were preparing for service. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit as Jesus asked them to. They were waiting with anticipation and trusting that the prophetic word of God would come true. Just like He said it would. Today we're reading the first part of chapter 2, and this is Pentecost. It's 50 days after Passover. The Holy Spirit will come, spoiler alert here, will come in a dramatic way and will empower the apostles and the others in the room. It's going to impact them forever. Remember, there's 120 people in all that were together, and they're going to be empowered for service as an answer to God's prophetic word. So before I read, I want to pray. Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. I thank You for Your rich word. I thank You for the joy that we feel when we're with each other. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit will illuminate the word, teach us, and help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's turn to the book of Acts. Chapter 2. Starting with verse 1. And we're going to read the first four verses. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Wow. I mean, this sounds like a special effects moment, doesn't it? Right? Like a Steven Spielberg. Actually, that's kind of old school, isn't it? Who's the latest awesome director? But a rushing wind coming in the room in tongues of fire, right? if you want to see a nice cinematic representation of this, go look at AD on Netflix. It was, they did their best to show this in that show on Netflix. But this is a crazy act of God, and imagine how it must have been sitting there when all this happened. I mean, they knew something was coming, but to see these tongues of fire coming in, rushing wind, that's amazing. That's undeniable. God was obviously making a statement saying, here I am. I'm going to make this really easy for you guys. I'm here, right? There's no doubt about it. And what's the result of all this? The apostles are all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin speaking in tongues. This is the first baptism of the Holy Spirit. God has just empowered them for service, to spread the word, to heal, to perform miracles, cast out demons, filled up at the Holy Ghost gas station and ready to go. Fill it up, check the tires. I used to work at a gas station where we did full service. They got full service, right? Wasn't that nice back in the day? Who remembers that? Just roll into the gas station. Hey, man, can you fill it up, check the oil, check the tires, do the windows, and then just sit there and read a book. Why is it so wonderful that we get to pump our own gas anyway? I can't figure that out. Anyway, so this leads me to the first point. God empowers us with His Holy Spirit to serve Him. We're called to serve. Bob Dylan has a famous song from Slow Train Coming. You got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You got to serve somebody, right? You're going to serve somebody in life. Might as well serve God. Serve the one who made you, right? He told us in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria, even the remotest part of the earth. A big part of our service is witnessing, bearing testimony of Him, and sharing the truth. It says in Acts 2:38-39, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. This is setting the stage for all these wonderful events in the book of Acts and is showing us what God wants us to do today. This did not end at the end of this apostolic age. This is for us today. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is for all, just like in that verse we just read, for all who ask, for all who ask, for generations to come. This is for all of us because He wants us to move with power. How many need power, right? He wants us to move with power that's undeniable. So, as I was studying for this week, I was reading one blog online. John Piper's got some great stuff. And the thing that sticks out to me is that he wants to saturate us with his Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit coming in and baptizing the apostles is they were saturated, completely soaked, completely full. Not just a casual observer. Oh yeah, I've been to church. It's really nice. They have some nice songs. And the preacher had some good things to say. I went a couple times. Okay, that's like going to a tennis tournament and not swinging a racket. It's another thing to get out on the court and hit a nice cross-court shot and feel good about it. Right? Right, Claire? Okay. It's one thing to be an observer. It's another thing to be fully saturated by Jesus. So point number two, ask God to saturate you with His Holy Spirit. Ask Him to saturate you with His Holy Spirit. Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He wants us to ask for it. Ephesians 5:18 says, be kept being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. When that happens, you'll go from being an observer to all in, child of God, ready for service. And when God reveals Himself to you in this way, you can't help but want to enlist in His army. The Salvation Army, right? By the way, the Salvation Army, the bell ringers, have been around since the mid-1800s. Started in London, going out to the poor part of East London. And it's still going on because it's all about soup, soap, and salvation. Soup, soap, and salvation. I'll feed you, I'll clean you up, and I'm going to give you the Word of God and save your life. They were changed from the inside out, William and Catherine Booth, and therefore they went out and did that because they love people. That's why we're here too. When you're saturated, you just want to go and do things for Jesus. You know, something happened to me on the way to Juvenile Hall this week. I was on the 105, and there's this really cool message that Frank Sontag played about this girl posted to Facebook, and it went viral. 11 million people looked at it, and she was basically talking about how she delivers food in South Carolina, and she felt prompted to go back and visit this woman who she just dropped off food to because her heart was pounding. She went to like 20 more stops, but she had to go back. And as soon as she prayed with this lady gave her this huge hug because her husband had cancer and held her hand. And just it was the most touching moment she had ever had in a long time. And it was just because she was simply obedient to the Spirit of God to go back to this woman's house. And she was basically saying, hey, y'all, when God tugs you, go, in her southern accent. And it went viral. Like 11 million people said, wow, this is amazing. And all she did was go back and hug this woman and pray with her. Because she was saturated with the Holy Spirit and she wanted to serve. Whoa, God, I'm missing out on something really good here. So I heard that on the radio and I thought, you know what? I have a story to tell. And I've always thought about calling in to that radio show. And all of a sudden I was doing, ever had one of those out-of-body experiences like, I can't believe I'm doing this right now? So I have my phone with me, I'm on the 105, and all of a sudden I get past the screener and Frank Sontag is saying, and we got Ross on the 105, like, oh, you know, that's me. And millions of people are about to hear me talk. Oh, Lord, help me talk. And I got my hoarse voice. And I told this story, you know, of how God tugged on my heart to go over and visit those kids. Remember I told you in that poor part of Honolulu in Kalihi? And I squatted down and asked them who my hero was, and they didn't know who it was. And I said it was Jesus, and they all received Jesus. And it was an amazing moment. They're like ages 8 to like 14. There's about 10 of them just sitting in the middle of all these kids just receiving Jesus. And one of them starts speaking in tongues. And I told Frank Sontag, that'll mess up your theology, right? He started laughing, and I said, you know, they're just think now they're all grown. That was in 1995. Who knows what they're saying about that story? But the reason I did that is because God just wanted me to. I just wanted to do whatever I can to share the love of Jesus, and to talk about how wonderful He is and how He touches people's lives. That's what happens when you get saturated, right? And it was I couldn't believe that I was actually doing that. Actually, when He cleared me through, I was making the transition from the 105 to the 710 and merging onto the Imperial Highway, that right there, like the most hectic part of the whole trip. And I don't even remember any of it. You know, it's just all muscle memory and just like, ooh, and all of a sudden I'm at the light. Thankfully, it worked out. But it was interesting. You know, these guys are speaking in tongues in the book of Acts, and it's interesting that that little boy in Kalihi actually started speaking in tongues. And when I tell the story, I think, did I just make that up? But I was reading and I heard about a story of someone who received the Holy Spirit when they were 11 years old at the Azusa Street Revival, and also was baptized in the Holy Spirit and began speaking in tongues when they were 11. So there you go. It wasn't just this anomaly. It's happened before. So, now notice, they immediately started speaking in tongues too. right when the Holy Spirit came, right when they were, you know, they're sitting in there, just like when I spoke to the kids in Honolulu, right away they start speaking in tongues, okay? And the Greek word for tongues here is G-L-O-S-S-A-I, glossai, which means tongues or languages, if you look it up. So here we have the apostles speaking in the languages of those who are listening, and they'd come from all over the area around the Mediterranean for Passover, Jews from everywhere, from Rome, Asia Minor, Mesopotamia, Arabia, Egypt, and other places. And this has gotten their attention because all of a sudden they hear these guys speaking in their language. Think about that. That's miraculous. If you've ever been to a foreign country, right, and wished you knew what everybody was saying. So let's find out what happens starting in verse 5. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" So, they're blown away because they're using their language. Guess what? God still does this today. See, Peter Wagner, in his book, The Third Wave of the Holy Spirit, talks about a situation in Argentina. And this book has been out for a number of years. It's 1988. So this is when I was a brand new Christian when I got this book. He says here, some months ago, well, actually he talks about the Pentecost, about them speaking in tongues. And he said, "Was the Holy Spirit sending us a message also? Could it be that the gospel is communicated today in languages which those who preach the message have never learned? Some months ago, I met a remarkable missionary couple named James and Jaime Thomas. Soon after they were married a few years ago, they went to Argentina under Maranatha Ministries. Neither James nor Jaime had learned any Spanish while growing up in Kentucky. James had enrolled in a Spanish course in high school, but dropped it because he's doing poorly and didn't want to lower his grade point. When he arrived in Cordoba, Argentina, he began planting a church by using an interpreter. God blessed, and a small church was soon underway. At this point, James invited a Puerto Rican Pentecostal evangelist, Ben Soto, to speak in the evening service at their small church. About 150 people were present. Soto was preaching fervently in Spanish, but suddenly stopped. The silence startled the congregation. They thought something had happened to the preacher, but he was all right. He said in English, "James and Jaime, God has just told me he's going to give you the gift of Spanish. What would you do?" He invited them up front, laid on hands, and blessed what God was doing. Then he said, "James, take over." James hardly knew what to do because he hadn't felt anything during the prayer, so he called for his interpreter. But Soto insisted that James do it on his own in Spanish. James reluctantly picked up the announcements written in English and began, "En esta semana vamos a," and broke into fluent Argentinian accented Spanish. From that moment on, he has spoken it like a native and written it with correct grammar, spelling, and accent marks. Crazy. Not only that, but when God recently called James from Argentina to Guatemala, he found himself switching to a Guatemalan accent. He demonstrated to me, I am fluent in Spanish, how he could speak the dialects of Honduras, Venezuela, and Mexico, as well as Argentina and Guatemala. Very few native speakers can do that. Meanwhile, it's not over. Jaime had learned even less Spanish than James. She was terrified. Oh, wait, when I said Heim, let me see. I'm getting confused. James, Jamie, okay? So is James, his wife is Jamie. It's spelled like Jaime. Meanwhile, Jamie had learned even less Spanish than James. She was so terrified when facing someone with whom she could not communicate that she would not even answer a knock on the door. But at the end of this church service led by Soto, some women began to ask her questions in Spanish. She understood and answered in Spanish. She has been speaking it ever since. I mean, that's just crazy stuff. In order to minister in Bolivia, my wife and I had to learn Spanish by living with Bolivians and studying books. The Thomases are the only people I personally know who have received a gift in language. I have heard of vague references about some, and I've read about two other cases. One was reported by John and Sherrod Cadd, who flew for Mission Aviation Fellowship in Zimbabwe. On one occasion, they flew Pastor Jerry Roselle and an African interpreter named Patrick to the northern area of Kanyaba, where they located the Vidoma people for the first time. However, the Vidoma spoke a language Patrick had never heard and could not understand. Discouraged, they prayed. God answered by giving Patrick the Vidoma language. Patrick was so surprised, he acted as if he had seen a lion. They preached, and 120 gave their lives to the Lord. The other case is told by Bruce Olson, missionary to Colombia, in his book, Brusco. Olson had evangelized the Motolona Indians, a fierce, isolated jungle tribe. They'd never had contact with neighboring tribes, but God called a group of them to evangelize the Yukos. At that time, they did not realize the other languages besides Motolone even existed. But they stayed with the Yukos for several weeks and communicated with them naturally, sharing Jesus with those who had never heard. Incidentally, Yuko is not a dialect of Motolone, but an entirely different language. I can only conclude that God's Holy Spirit made the Motolone speak and understand Yuko, Olson says. So, God did it, and God did it again, and God could do it again. The whole purpose is not to show, it's not a show. It has a purpose of spreading the gospel, it has a purpose of serving, of reaching out to people. I'm praying right now that it'll happen to me before we go back to Baja. So, but it's not just that they're speaking their languages, it's what they're saying. It's what they're saying. And this is what is really getting to the crux of the message today. They are speaking of the mighty deeds of God. They're not just saying random things. They're speaking of the mighty deeds of God. They are prophesying. Speaking God's truths into people's lives, encouraging them and exhorting them in their languages. That's what gets people's attention and moves us in His direction. I remember when I was in Hawaii and I was having panic attacks and just really uncomfortable. Just didn't know what to do. I even tried Zoloft one day, but it was terrible. I couldn't stand it. It just felt like I was on drugs, and it was a drug, right? I just, you know, something wrong with paddling out in perfect South Shore waves and feeling really high, and you're trying to get well. I just like, no, that's not the right solution. I need another solution. And so my friend Judd started laying hands on me and prophesying from Psalm 62. He just kept saying, "You will not be shaken. You will not be shaken. You will not be shaken. God is your rock. You will not be shaken." And I'm telling you, it seems so simple, but that was so pivotal in my life to give me courage to trust God. And not long after that, God did heal me. By the base director sent me to a healing retreat on the Big Island. They laid hands on me. I've told you the story. God healed me of a tremendous amount of my anxiety. I found out why I had that anxiety, because of abuse when I was an 8-year-old. And then after that, God led me to read Isaiah 26:3 in my Bible one day. I opened it up. He said, "He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is set on thee, because he trusts in thee." And I said, "Okay, Jesus, I trust in you." And he sent me back to LA and made me a middle school teacher. And I always think that's funny. Let's go heal that anxiety. We'll make you an inner city middle school teacher. Just what the doctor orders. Like, that's just not your normal counsel. But anyway, but it made sense to him, and it's worked. I don't have panic attacks. I do panic occasionally in my classroom. But I reach out to God and He heals me right away. But the anxiety is gone. Praise God. So, but that prophesying in my life for my friend Judd, and by the way, we're still friends after all these years. We both have 4 children. He lives in Ocean City, Maryland. He's a surfer and loves football, plays guitar and worships. And we do the same thing over here. We're like catty corner. We haven't seen each other but once since 95. And I'm really grateful for him. And I've been in fellowship with believers many times where everybody's together and the Holy Spirit will fall upon and we'll just start speaking the Word of God. You'll be in this group of people in a small setting. How many know what I'm talking about? Where all of a sudden people are just getting verses. Well, I really believe the Lord wants you to hear this. You know, trust in the Lord. He's your strong tower. And they'll look at you and go, wow, that's the perfect verse for me. How many know what I'm talking about? When someone has spoken to your life and you went, that is the verse I needed to hear. Thank you so much. You're prophesying. You're speaking God's word into their lives. Not just future telling, which is also prophecy, but speaking into people's lives. Now, to a non-believer, all this may seem a little odd. So the people there at Pentecost, they were watching on the outside. They are watching, and let's see what their reaction is. And they, in verse 12, read that again. They all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking and saying, ah, they're just full of sweet wine. They're drunk, right? Because they don't get it. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They're just looking at a bunch of crazy believers acting really bizarre. And I guess sometimes we look a little bit like that out here on the beach. Oh, they're just drunk. But read verse 14 to 21. Peter stands up and clarifies what's going on here. Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them. Now remember now, he's full of the Holy Spirit. He's just been touched. He's empowered for service. And immediately, he's serving. He didn't wait. Ready to go. Let's do this, right? Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only the 3rd hour of the day. That would be about 10 a.m. Okay? It's only about the 3rd hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth in my spirit on all mankind. This is from Joel 2. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my bond slaves, both men and women. I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we'll continue with that part next time. But looking at this right here, we see that he appeals to them first on the natural level. Like, come on, guys. Really? It's 10 a.m. They're not all drunk. Okay? And that reminds me of a friend of mine in Texas, Bobby Howard. I used to sit with him on the beach in South Texas, and he'd be drinking a big tall can of beer at 6 in the morning. So yeah, it would have been Bobby Howard because he loved to drink. But you know what? The good news is that Bobby got saved, and he found Jesus, and he met a girl that was a dancer, and she got saved, and they got married. And I don't know how they're doing now, but recently someone said, Bobby says hi. So he's still around. So you never know, even that drunk in the morning that you hang out with on the beach that can't seem to put the can down, God can touch their lives too. So be praying for them. I love Bobby. Okay, so I wish you could hear his accent. He's really cool. So here's Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, empowered to serve. Remember, he denied Jesus 3 times. At the cross. Now he's empowered, he's emboldened, he's full of unction, and he's telling them this is a fulfillment of the book of Joel. In the Old Testament, God said this was going to happen. Are y'all surprised? Haven't you been reading? Haven't you been studying the prophets? This is important because it's not just a move of the Spirit. that can be assessed physically. I mean, remember what I said? Tongues of fire, rushing wind. God is here. Peter standing up and saying, I know that y'all figure something's going on here. Somebody's in the house, okay? It's God, by the way. It's also verified by the Word of God. So you have spirit and truth. We worship in spirit and truth. If the Holy Spirit is moving and God's doing work, it should match what God says in His Scripture. If not, it may be a counterfeit. We have to be careful. We have to be discerning. But as you'll see in the last text I have on this page, we don't want to quench the Spirit and treat prophecies with contempt, but we need to be willing to learn from them and test them and see if they are, in fact, God's Word speaking into your life, speaking into my life. Don't be so quick to disregard what someone is speaking to you. That reminds me of a story. So everything reminds me of a story. I told y'all before this, but I always get encouraged by it. I was at an outreach in Minnesota at this big auditorium, and this guy came out of the auditorium into the foyer in the front by the front door, and he said, an angel just talked to me. And right away I thought, wow, dude, that's cool. An angel just spoke to you? I mean, okay, why not? God can do what He wants to do, right? And he said, you're going to go to Africa. And I said, wow, going to Africa. And I went back and I told my friends, and they said, well, now, Ross, don't get a plane ticket. Let God do what He's going to do in your life and see what happens. Well, I've been there 5 times. So maybe He did hear from an angel. And maybe it was right, but you'll never know, right, till you get to heaven. So anyway, we want to not take all these things and treat them with contempt, because someone may be actually speaking into your life. And now we're planning on going to Africa again, to Malawi, June 10th to the 26th. So, this event at Pentecost is not only empowering the believers, but it's confirming the Word of God so that we can trust the Word of God, because we know that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He is the incarnate Word. If you begin to doubt the Bible, then what will you believe in? What will your standard be? Whose opinion are you going to go with, right? So, it's interesting that Peter is doing this, confirming the Word of God. Now, if a believer hears you speaking into his life, if a believer hears you prophesying in his language, speaking into his life, that'll get their attention. And remember the Jack Hayford story? Y'all remember that one that I told you on the airplane? He got a word from the Lord and got the word in the language of the person sitting next to him on the airplane, spoke into his life. That's cool evangelism. And the guy received Jesus into his heart. I mean, wouldn't you? If you're on the airplane and the guy sitting next to you suddenly gets a word from God in your language and speaks into your life something that you were supposed to hear, that would get my attention. So there's a purpose of tongues, purpose of other languages. This is aside from your prayer language that we've talked about before, talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, 13, 14, 15. This is talking about a language that God gives for that moment. So now let's read through this prophecy and actually, we've already read the prophecy, but I just want to go back and look at it right now. When the prophecy talks about the last days here, you could do a whole thing on last days. But the last days were actually, according to Hebrews 1:2 and 1 Peter 1:20, the last days start with the time of Jesus being on the earth in the Messianic age. And the last days continue to the final days of the world, 1 John 2:18, when the Antichrist comes, and continues into the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. This is all the last days, and you can read about that in Isaiah 2:2. So when he says, in the last days that young and old men and women will prophesy, and dream dreams and see visions. He's talking about from the time of Jesus, messianic age, and to the millennium, throughout this whole latter day. We're in a portion of the latter day. Even though it seems to us like, well, that's thousands, a couple thousand years. Well, on God's timetable, it's not very long. And then dreams and visions have always been around. Joseph told Mary, was told about Mary and the birth of Jesus in a dream. Ananias was directed by a vision to go to Saul. Paul was told in a dream to go to Macedonia. Okay, you see this throughout Scripture. And what he's saying is, you're going to continue to do these things. Let God speak to you in your dreams. Let God speak to you in visions. And remember, we dream about what we read and what we watch. So if you're in the Word of God, it's going to affect your dreams and what you have visions for. So read the Word. And then the great day of the Lord is a day when Jesus comes back to judge the world. And you can read about that in Matthew 24. That's what he's talking about when there's wonders in the sky above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire, vapor of smoke, the sun turns dark and the moon into blood. That has not happened yet. When that happens, be grateful that you belong to Jesus in the great day of the Lord. So this prophetic gift is for everyone, for all who call upon Him. Everyone that wants it can have this. Okay? So it leads me to point number three. The Bible is confirmed by prophecy. Okay? So the event at Pentecost confirmed what was written in Joel 2:23. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, every promise of God is yes. So whatever it says, it's going to happen. Hadn't happened yet? Well, it's going to happen. Bible says so. And then number four, faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Interesting enough, that's the verse for the day on my YouVersion Bible app today. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So as they were hearing the Word of God, after seeing the Holy Spirit move on these people, then their faith is activated because they see God at work through His Word and through the Spirit. And their faith is increased. When I did get to Los Padrinos on Thursday after talking on the radio safely, this guy from our Christmas outreach named Castro with 41 tattooed on his face, that gang, okay, he's in there for attempted murder, been in there for a year. He brought his cousin. He said, you got to meet my cousin. He doesn't believe in God. His name's David. So I start talking to him. I said, guess what? You do believe in God. Because the Bible says no man is with excuse. Because God is clearly seen. His invisible attributes are clearly seen from what He's made. Perfect A-frame peaks. Come on. That's no accident. Look at that barrel. That is no accident. Okay? We know that God exists because He made Rincon, a perfect right-hand point break. Okay? That's all from the mind of God for the surfers. Or look at the ladybug. Or as I showed my class this past week, look at the snowflake. It's a miraculous engineering feat of Mother Nature. Give me a break. Who is Mother Nature? God did that. His mind created these beautiful snowflakes, perfectly symmetrical and so unique. And then I looked at David and Castro in the juvenile hall. I said, look at your fingerprint. There's only one of those in the whole world. There is not one other person in the world with your fingerprint. What are the odds of that happening by accident? So we started looking in the Word of God. We started looking at Scripture, started reading the Bible. And guess what happened to David, who was in there because he was doing meth and he was suicidal and he'd almost killed himself. Guess what he did? This guy that didn't believe in God, he received Jesus in his heart because reading the Word activated his faith. And that night, Thursday, his life was saved. It was saved because his cousin loves him and because the Word of God spoke to his heart. And you know what he did? He opened the Bible, David did, and the first verse he read talked about a guy named David. He said, look, Castro, there's a guy named David in here. I said, well, imagine that. I said, you know what? Well, I've been reading 1 Samuel. It's a great story about him running away from Saul. Saul trying to kill him. You talk about action. Read that. Then I said, read Proverbs. There's a chapter for every day of the month. It'll give you wisdom so you can get out of this place and start living your life for God. Picking the right friends. And read Psalms. It'll help you take care of your enemies. Pray for your enemies. That's what David did. And look at the book of John. It'll reveal who Jesus really is, who you just received in your heart. Because God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him will not, He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So my last point here, number 5, desire to speak prophetically. Doesn't mean you're a prophet. It just means desire that God will give you the word to speak into people's lives, to encourage them and to exhort them and move them in the right direction. Because He wants all of us to be able to do this. That's what Pentecost was all about. To be saturated by His Holy Spirit, be so full of the love of God, and by reading the word, you'll know where to go, and you'll look at your friend, you know what? Let me show you a verse. This one right here. Wow, you know, God, your ever-present help in your time of need. Isn't that cool? Or turn to a verse and go, wow, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're knit together in your mother's womb. Before one day came to be, He knew all of them. You know, if you're in the Word of God, you'll be able to speak prophetically into people's lives. Encourage them. How many want that? Amen, right? So, and if you look at those verses right there that I put down, it talks about the gift of prophecy. It's one thing to have the gift of tongues and all these other gifts. It says to eagerly desire to be prophetic because it encourages the church, encourages one another. So, are y'all encouraged? I am. So, this is good stuff. It goes both ways, you know, with these teachings. Well, if y'all close your eyes, because maybe somebody here heard that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved and realizes, you know what? If I drowned out there on one of those sets, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. If I got held down too long, there goes a left barrel right there. Woo, sweet. Anyway, so right now, let God search your hearts. Let's do business with God. It's not a gotcha moment. It's a keep you. It's to save you. It's to help you. It's a wonderful thing to receive Jesus in your heart. If you've never put your faith in Jesus and called upon His name to be saved, raise your hand, and I'd like to pray with you. Anybody with earshot? Okay. Let's all rehearse the prayer in case somebody's listening. And they don't know how to pray. Dear Jesus, thank You for dying for me on the cross, for shedding Your blood for me. Thank You that You took my place, that You forgave my sins, and You rose from the dead. I believe that. I believe what You said. I believe Your word. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit so that I can go to heaven one day with Your power, Lord, that raises the dead. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's all stand and let's worship the Lord. And remember this week to go out to somebody, that people on your list. And remember, you are empowered for service. And if you don't feel empowered for service, ask for that. He says He'll give it to you. Say, Jesus, make me Your vessel. Let's raise our hands and receive that power while the worship team comes up. Dear Jesus, baptize me afresh by Your Holy Spirit so I can love people and make a difference to see lives changed. And while you're at it, change my life too. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.